turning today to Romans chapter 14, and we're going to make a leap forward in going through some verses here. In Romans 14, we will begin our reading today at verse 1. Romans chapter 14. Let us consider God's holy word. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs or vegetables. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Amen. We end our reading there with that powerful short verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And we trust that the Lord will give us grace and help today as we consider this very important message in our relations with each other as Christians, and not only our relations with Christians in this congregation, but our relationship to true believers, wherever they are. We are considering today verses 5, 6, and 7. And verse 6, you see, is a very long verse, but we're going to consider these with the help of the Lord. Can't we just get along as Christians? Why all the divisions? The Word of God does call for separation from heresy, from falsehood, and from apostasy. What does he say? Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Our unity, which Christ prayed for, has to be based on the truth of the gospel. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 5 makes that clear, that our unity has to be based on the truth of the gospel. When it comes to non-essentials, however, matters of conscience that do not affect our salvation, we should be gentle, patient, united, and stand together. The inspired apostle is writing in Romans 14 about things that do not determine whether you are saved or whether you are lost. This is not the matters of life and death. Looking at certain religious holidays or holy days or eating meats, whatever. Now, he is dealing with very important things here. There are so many sad and unnecessary divisions in the body of Christ, even in the early centuries of the New Testament church. It's obvious that the divisions were in the church in Corinth. They were in the church in Colossae, where we have read, and also in Rome. There were divisions over these things, these non-essentials. During the Reformation, many of the godly reformers would not unite together because of differences over matters that do not determine salvation. Now, isn't that sad? That when there was really the need to take a stand together and to be strong and defend themselves, they couldn't be united over matters that had nothing to do with our salvation. Oh. And even in the time of the Puritans, same kind of thing happened. As much as we love the Puritans and thank God for what he did in that time, some of the Puritans were Presbyterians, others were Episcopalians, and sometimes they caused each other to be put to death. You know, not over the matters of salvation. Now, that's pretty wild. Now, there were other Puritans that were Congregationalists, Baptists, Independents. One Scottish Puritan believed and practiced Seventh-day worship instead of worship on the first day of the week with the overwhelming majority of them. He chose to worship on Saturday, and he taught his people that in Scotland. Well, we have come this morning to these verses 5, 6, and 7. I'll ask three questions. What are the days spoken of here? What are the days spoken of here? Esteeming a day or not esteeming a day. Number two, what day is not referred to here? And then thirdly, what is the Christian response to these differences? First of all, what are the days spoken of here? Look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. Okay, I use the plural, days, because let's turn over to where we were earlier in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, you see it used in the plural, the same kind of context. In chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. In other words, Christ is the fulfillment of all this. All right, now let's think about this passage just a moment. Certain days were considered to be holy days, especially by the Jews. New moon comes every month. So there were several new moons during the year to celebrate. And then Sabbath days. You notice the word days in your English version is in italics. Well, really, it shouldn't be, because Sabbath is in the plural. And Sabbath referred to days, so it is plural in the original. Now, let's turn over to Galatians, and you'll see the same context in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 10. The apostle says in verse 9, let's get that too. Verse 9 of Galatians chapter 4, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? What are these weak and beggarly elements he's talking about? Okay, here we go. Verse 10. Ye observe days, plural, and months. There's your new moons. A month, okay. And times and years. Remember the year of Jubilee and other special years? Okay. And what does Paul say in verse 11? He's not saying something good about this. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Here in Galatia, it was really bad. many made Paul afraid because professing Christians were being deceived into thinking that they had to keep the ceremonial law and all of its special days in order to be saved. That's why they had the Council of Jerusalem in chapter 15 of Acts was held for that very reason, to answer that problem that was going on, that they were teaching. You got to be circumcised to be saved. You got to keep the ceremonial law to be saved. No. The apostles would not tolerate such heresy. Good works for salvation. Mere human works save no one. Of course, the Old Testament Hebrews had certain feast days that they rightly considered as holy days before Christ's sacrifice was made. You remember the feast days? Pentecost, Passover, the Day of Atonement, many of them. But you know the Jews added a lot more that God didn't give them. The Jews added lots more feasts and holy days as the centuries rolled on. More than the ones that were commanded by God. You remember the Feast of Purim? P-U-R-I-M? That was added because of the providential divine deliverance in the time of Queen Esther. The Feast of Purim, remembering how God saved them and delivered them from Haman and murder. Okay. There's another one. Hanukkah, or the Feast of Lights, was added because of the deliverance the Jews experienced under Judas Maccabeus. Handel made a beautiful oratorio. I could jump up and shout when I listened to Handel's oratorio on Judas Maccabeus. And we've got some of it in our hymn book here. It's that one about the resurrection. It's wonderful. Excuse me. It even says Judas Maccabeus in our hymn book there. All right. Now, they considered many days as special festivals, and because of what God had done for them. 16 years ago yesterday, this congregation was constituted. That was a special day. We remember it. But if we forget it 1 year, or even if we forget it for a few years, it's not necessarily a sin that we forget it. Of course, even in the 21st century, people can get pretty worked up over these religious days. Some people will try and try and try until they finally get you to go to a celebration of Passover. We had a family here many years ago that did that to me. They kept pushing and pushing until finally I went. Okay. Went over to the Marriott there by the Space Center and they did it. There's a bunch of people over there. And many people get excited about that. Many people get excited about Lent. Lent can easily be just something to make you feel good about your good works. But there are others who really believe that by keeping Lent that they gain merit with God. Some people will separate from you if you don't get excited about these days like they do. Now let's get even closer to home. The Puritans did not celebrate Good Friday, did not celebrate Easter, Christmas, because Roman Catholicism celebrated these things as necessary feasts and holy days. Now, let's get a little closer to ourselves. There is a professing Reformed church, a Reformed congregation in Huntsville that would not even recognize us as being fellow Christians because many in our membership celebrate Christ's incarnation on December 25th. Many of our brethren within our denomination go farther than I do and have big celebrations of Christ's birth each year. Some of them have special Good Friday services. Many of them have what they call Easter and Easter Monday services. I don't even like the word. Because if you will look online, the term Easter, it is a filthy immoral pagan origin. You look it up. I prefer to talk about Christ's resurrection instead of that term. We celebrate the Lord's Day because of the resurrection of Christ. Every Lord's Day. So what if we sing a few extra resurrection songs in the spring or more songs about Christ's birth in December? We sing songs about both of them all the year long. Spurgeon would not separate from brethren over these minor issues, and neither will I. Verse 5. Last part. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Whatever you do in regard to celebrating special days like all of these, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, what does that mean? Don't do what you do simply out of habit. Don't do what you do simply because of tradition. Think about what you're doing at all times, because none of us liveth to himself and none of us dieth to himself. You're always influencing other people by your words, your attitudes, and your actions. And for this, you will give an account. Children and grandchildren are watching, and they ask questions. Verse 5, you see that last part. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What does this mean? Literally, it means this. Let everyone be fully convinced constantly. That is the tense of the Greek imperative. It is the present continual. To be fully convinced constantly so that you can give a reasonable account to anyone who asks you, why do you do this? 1 Peter 3:15 says to have a ready answer. So, that's point number one. What are these days that are being spoken of? They are religious festivals that are non-essential, that are not commanded in this age. Number two, what day is not referred to here? This context in no way refers to the Lord's Day, the day of Christian public worship. If you study carefully the context of Romans 14, Colossians 2, and Galatians 4, all of them have reference to things that are not specifically commanded by God to do or to obey. Non-essentials like eating meat and or not eating meat. No one would perish for failing to celebrate Purim or Hanukkah. Regarding the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath, we have a clear command from God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is not a matter of indifference. It is God's command. If you have any questions about it, I encourage you to click on sermonaudio.com and listen to old Myron Mooney teach on the fourth commandment from the early part of July 2017, all the way to mid-November 2017. 4.5 months on that. God's commands are important. They are not playthings. Mankind naturally hates the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. Roman Catholicism doesn't like the second commandment that forbids the use of images in the worship of God, so they chucked that one, and they chopped number 10 in half so they could make two of it. So popery really has 9 commandments, but modern evangelicals haven't done a whole lot better. They don't like number 4, so they try to say it doesn't apply now. So modern evangelicals generally have, at least in their practice, only 9 commandments. So where did the 10th go? This context has nothing to do with the normal day of gathering for Christian worship. Now, I also put extra tracts back there on the offering box to help answer any questions you might have about the Lord's Day. Now, why did day 7 worship get replaced by day 1 worship? That's the big question. God directed the apostles to be sure. I'm going to tell you, God directed them. The Hebrew people were a people so reluctant to change or give up any part of the Old Testament worship that you can be absolutely sure they would not have gathered on a different day to worship if God had not clearly directed the apostles to do so, and He did. Let's read about it. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 1, Jesus had finished His work of His suffering, and He was risen from the dead, and He's still with the apostles. You notice in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, until the day in which He was taken up. That's His ascension. But in the meantime, He, through the Holy Ghost, was giving commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Now notice verse 3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Now notice what He was talking about during those 40 days. Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Where did the kingdom of God go? In the church. How things are to be ordered in the church. He's talking to them. Now, so from that point on, they worship on the first day of the week. For the next 200 years. If you go back and you read the church fathers in there, before there was ever a Constantine, before there was ever a Council of Nicaea, you can read the church fathers, and over again, they say, we worship on the first day of the week because Jesus rose from the dead, and that's when the apostles worshiped. Okay? So, matter settled. All right. Now, what is the response that we are to have to these non-essential differences? Well, a weak believer was reluctant to give up and forget the Old Testament ceremonies. Maybe he wanted just to do the Passover each year as a memorial of what Christ had already done. Well, that's okay. But he can't force a strong believer to feel the same desire to do it. He can't force it. And a weak believer was so fearful of eating meat. That meat may have been offered to idols. I don't know. I don't want to eat that. So many of them decided just to leave meat off entirely because they didn't want to be defiled by it. But what about the strong believer? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, strong believer was enabled to reason in this way. There's only one true and living God. And what these people offer to idols, the idol is nothing. Because the idol doesn't represent anything. Because there's nothing for it to represent. Because there's only one God. So meat is just meat. And it's not defiled by nothing. How can nothing defile it? Nothing in the spiritual realm can defile it. So I can enjoy it like God told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. I'll join him for that. Okay. So that's the strong believer. And let us realize that a sincere godly brother who feels compelled to regard certain religious days does it for the Lord. And the brother that does not believe that he should keep any day holy except the Lord's day does it also for the Lord. The brother that eats meat gives thanks and glory to the Lord and is accepted of the Lord. So the brother whose conscience does not let him eat meat, he does what he does for the glory of God, and he gives thanks. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful there. Look at verse 6. Look at their last words of verse 6. To the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. But you got to be really careful right there. Never in the world dare to do like the Pharisees and say at the end of verse 6, I thank God that I'm not like him who either eats meat or doesn't eat meat. I thank God I'm not like him. No. Never say that, and never say he can't be a Christian at all if he can't see my position and adopt my way of thinking. No. In conclusion, we have verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Let us always remember that many eyes are upon us, eyes from heaven, and eyes all around us on the earth. Not only the little children, but everyone notices what we do and what we don't do. And they ask questions of their parents. They watch the adults and everyone to see what they're doing or what they're not doing. How they live. The little children make comparisons with what they hear from the Word of God and what they see in our lives. So let us hear the word of the Lord. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that we are before thee, and that thou dost not only see what we do, but thou dost see right to our hearts why we do and why we do not do things that we ought to do. So, Lord, we pray that thou wilt give us grace to face this verse 7, that we are constantly influencing others by the way that we live. Oh God, help us to walk in truth. As John said, I have no greater joy than knowing that my children walk in truth. So Lord, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word to our hearts and do us good. We pray in Jesus' name.